Hey everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. This kind of makes me want to go back to college. It seems like a lot of fun there. Not like real college, where there's a lot more work.
Yeah, I'm good not going back to college. We'll discuss that as we go. Before we get started, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/The Simpsons Show. Links will be in the show notes and etc. No new names this week, Matt, but we have tons of great stuff on our there. If you'd like to support us for just $2 a month, you can see all of our bonus content. I'm writing a weekly article for it. We are doing monthly bonus episodes, which the newest one will be recording today, discussing the first episode of Futurama. Simpsons commentary tracks, etc., and help push us towards our next goal of making and eating moon waffles. You can pledge there, of course, and we'd really appreciate that. If you don't want to support us that way, you can also support us by simply going to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice and subscribing, giving us a good review, giving us 5 stars. If you don't know what to write, you can always write this: a great podcast, and that's the tooth.
And make sure to leave the gas on when you write that.
Yes, the gas must be on. On to this week's episode. It is Homer Goes to College, episode 1F02, originally aired October 14th, 1992, written by Conan O'Brien. You know, that guy, that talk show guy. You know him, Matt?
The tall, lanky redhead? Oh, yeah, I know him.
With a gigantic head. This is his last sole writing credit for The Simpsons. He is credited on this season's Treehouse of Horror as well. But soon after this, he went off to NBC to host Late Night with Conan. He had to walk out on his contract, which I believe Matt Groening and company were fine with, because they realized that hosting a talk show is pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Too bad he didn't, still continue to write Simpsons episodes, because this one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy. He's a very smart guy. I do miss his old late night show, the one that was after Leno.
Yeah.
That it was a very singular thing that they've not recreated with his new show. But it was directed by Jim Reardon. Let's see, finished 44th in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 11.3, viewed in 10.5 million households, tied, Matt, with Beverly Hills 90210 as the highest rated show on Fox that week.
Oh no, we're getting to the absolute worst, the dregs, the 90210s and the Melrose Places.
They're fine. They're fine. They're soap operas, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like throwbacks to Dallas and all those types of shows.
Come on, if you want to watch a soap opera, watch wrestling or read comic books. You don't need actual soap operas.
Well, that's how I choose to get mine, but I mean, you know, people have different tastes. The couch gag is the giant foot from Monty Python smushes the family. There's no chalkboard gag this week. I guess the show was running long, so they didn't have time for it.
Which is weird after last week running short.
Yeah, that's strange. It is very strange. But I mean, it's long and short are a matter of maybe a minute. Like, it's a difference in, like, between Cape Fear and this one is probably a minute of content. And, you know, just that extra 30 seconds or 20 seconds of the intro can make a difference. The episode begins with nap time at the nuclear power plant, which makes me kind of want to work there. If they have an official nap time, that's pretty awesome.
Not to mention they have free donuts every day.
Burns is napping, and Skinner as well, Smithers as well. So it's, I'm guessing officially just like they hit, you know, maybe 1:30 and nap time. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission shows up with a surprise test of worker competence. Mr. Burns first tries to beg them off by saying that they make cookies. Old-fashioned good time cookies.
Yes, just like the Cookie Mart is owned by a defense contractor. The nuclear power plant is owned by Cookie Company.
Oh,
who knew?
Okay, well, I don't necessarily want to eat those cookies. Burns tries to, try to throw him off, but they are very insistent. They have an axe.
Apparently that's really necessary.
I guess so. You have to destroy their way in. But Homer and two employees, I don't think we've ever seen these two guys again.
Nope.
No. They're just the stupid employees are put in the basement and they're told to watch a bee. Homer is in charge. Homer's in charge, which tells you the capacity of the other two guys. But he accidentally docks the bee jar over. The bee escapes, and he chases it. I don't think he has to. He chases after it. Well, and ends and ends up at the testing van, if that's, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perfect simulation of his workstation.
However, I had to capture this, though, before that.
Is there a Homer Simpson present?
Oh, I'm afraid he couldn't be here.
Oh, yes, he's in Geneva, chairing a conference on nuclear fission. Yes, that should stick.
Oh, the bee bit my bottom! No, my bottom's big!
I had to include bee bit my bottom. There's a lot of really, famous one-liners in this one. A lot of things that I forgot were in this episode, including that bit. Homer gets tested, which is just a replica of his workstation, contains no nuclear material, and yet he manages to create a meltdown.
Well, of course, Homer is special like that. He actually carries nuclear material on him. He is actually a nuclear radiator, essentially.
He is radioactive, isn't that canon? That he actually is radioactive. He glows in the dark, along with probably most of the employees from the nuclear power plant. I like your note here, Matt. Burns escapes in a terrible rocket.
The worst escape rocket ever in Smithers' suit.
That is a reference to an escape pod in Star Wars. It looks similar to the one R2 and C-3PO use at a certain point. Of course, Homer fails miserably. I'm fairly certain that melting down a van without any radioactive material in it is a fail. It's an F. In a pass-fail situation, that's probably a fail. But
Burns, I don't know. That seems really impressive. I might just keep him on just to figure out how he did that exactly.
I don't know, but impressive not in a good way, though. Impressive like Pol Pot murdering so many people is impressive.
That's true.
Yeah, Burns, not nonplussed by the failure of his employees, which I'm sure he's used to by this point, decides that it is time for bribes.
Now, you can either have the washer and dryer where the lovely Smithers is standing, or you can trade it all in for what's in this box.
The box! The box!
Look, Burns, this is a big problem. You just can't throw money at it and make it go away.
Gentlemen, I've decided there will be no investigation. Now, if you excuse me, I'll go away.
You're in big trouble, Burns. Homer Simpson's job requires college training in nuclear physics. Now you get your man up to speed, or we'll be forced to take legal action.
Is that so? Well, I have the feeling you'll be dropping the charges.
Ooh. The painter's moved your desk, sir.
Oh, yes.
For those not aware, that is Burns trying to use the trapdoor on them. Did not work.
That's true. Burns uses that trapdoor a lot, and apparently the painters are always moving his desk, because it never seems to work.
It's only worked in very, very specific situations. But Burns and his lawyers meet with Homer, tell him they want to send him to college, because I don't know. It doesn't matter. Homer...
Take one class.
Homer agrees to go. Burns also makes a ominous portent about finding the jade monkey before the next full moon. That's a reference to Maltese Falcon. Lisa tries to help Homer fill out his applications.
List your three favorite books and how they've influenced your life.
Is TV Guide a book?
No.
Son of Sniglet?
No.
Catherine Hepburn's Me?
No.
Oh, I suck. It was the most I ever threw up, and it changed my life forever.
He then includes a horrible picture.
Fantastic picture. Fantastic.
Matt says it's fantastic. It's a picture I really like.
The red eye is what makes it.
It's pretty good, but he's like, the picture doesn't matter, and then we cut to a college looking at his application, the picture blown up. They're like, this man is insane. Why would we read his application? He looks like a crazy person.
Exactly, because Homer is a crazy person.
Yeah, he kind of is an insane person. We see, which I think is a window into the world of Homer and into the Simpsons, and kind of the whole angle of this episode is that Homer sits down to watch a National Lampoon knockoff called School of Hard Knockers, in the wave after Animal House. There's a bunch of these movies. Most of them not great, you know, college comedies, but most of them followed this very kind of rudimentary plot structure where, you know, the college students want to party and it's, you know, a uptight dean or something wants to hold him back. And they just want to have fun. You know, they're not hurting anybody, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what Homer thinks college is. He's never been. It's really funny, especially considering that my reference for these movies is in the 90s was PCU.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Kind of good. I don't know what that... I have nostalgia for it, but I don't think it's a good movie.
Okay, fair enough. It had David Spade.
Yeah, it follows the same structure as these films, which is crazy because it came out years later. But Homer, this is Homer, what he thinks college is. He thinks, like, that we'll get into it, but this is where it's introduced, kind of, where we see, like, an uptight dean having to be, is the man, et cetera, et cetera. Very kind of outdated concepts. He gets his responses back from all those colleges.
Only hear the responses from the colleges you applied to.
Dope! Woohoo! Flyer for a hardware store. Dope!
Well, Pop, what are you gonna do?
Something I should have done a long time ago.
You don't know, do you?
No, ma'am.
I know that feeling. I gotta do something, but heck if I know what.
I gotta do. I'm gonna do. Burns really wants to send Homer to college. He is not.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to give up on Homer for some reason.
He'll get fined. That's the end of it. Money.
I mean, he could just fire Homer.
He could. No, but I think he'd still get fined for having the employee in the first place. I believe that's the system they're working. But he has a chair at Springfield University. A great gag because we cut to him sitting in like a demonic, monstrous vampire Dracula chair or something. But he initially the board will not let Homer in, but then Burns beats them mercilessly with a bat until they let him in.
Yes.
And by mercilessly I mean softly tap. Softly tap with a baseball bat. Homer receiving the news that he is getting into Springfield University, he says something which we use on every episode now.
Woohoo! I'm a college man! I won't need my high school diploma anymore! I am too smart! I am too smart! I am too smart! I am too smart! S-M-R-T! I mean S-M-A-R-R-T!
That is how I've spelled smart since that day.
I do it. I use that all the time. I've even got my wife to use it, and she's not even that big of a Simpsons fan.
And she's actually smart, unlike us.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, she is smarter. I'm not dumb, Matt, okay? She's smarter than me, okay. But I'm not an idiot.
Well, she's smarter than all of us, so...
All of us? Wow, okay. I mean, she is smart.
Well, she's the smartest person I know.
You're pretty smart, Matt.
No.
Okay.
I'm also lazy, so that doesn't help.
I think we're all lazy. But that is actually, that SMRT was just a random mistake by Dan Castellaneta when he was recording that. He was supposed to spell it like the right way without, you know, omitting the A, and he did on accident and they kept it because they thought it was funny. And it is funny.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. But with that, with the house burning down, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, Homer is arriving at school with Marge for some reason, but for his first day of school. And we learn that those movies have, well, they've taken a bit of a toll on Homer's psyche.
No!
Homer, that isn't very nice.
Marge, try to understand. There are two kinds of college students, jocks and nerds. As a jock, it is my duty to give nerds a hard time. Hey, pal, did you get a load of the nerd?
Pardon me?
Which I kind of imagine, like, this was probably true in the early 90s, but even more so today, is that that's kind of how it is. It's like the nerds and jocks, they get along nowadays, Homer? I don't know if you know that. Maybe in the past they didn't, but yeah. Everybody's cool these days.
Or they just don't talk. I mean, I think most people just don't. They keep their keep minding their own business for the most part. I mean,
that's true. And you hang out with people who are like you.
Yeah,
which is not the best way to go about things, but yeah.
Yeah, generally agreeable. I mean, yeah, college is not divisive for the most part. I didn't run. Most of the people who are annoying on campus are people from not on campus. Like the crazy picketer people who scream at you, scream that you're going to hell. That was my main.
Yeah.
Those are the main people that I didn't like. But they were not attending college. They were just random people.
True. For some reason, they were exercising their First Amendment rights.
Wanted to yell at everyone, regardless.
They have to make their impact on the world somehow. And if they can't do it by spreading love, they'll spread hate.
Okay. You know. That's true.
But after this wonderful exchange, we get to see Homer and Marge at the freshman mixer, which I guess is what they were actually there for, where Homer proceeds to spike the punch, which every punch I went I sampled in college was already pre-spiked, so I guess it wasn't a big deal for us. But the other kids at Homer's college are apparently horrified by this notion and have their parents call to pick them up, because I guess the writers were kind of pushing this whole campus or colleges in the 90s where everyone was too much of a little baby, they weren't adults yet, kind of thing.
Well, they're freshmen, and you know, I'm guessing
my college experience.
I never went to any college events, like official anything of sponsored officially by the college. If I went to a party, it was a person, like you just say, small actual like student thrown party. So I can't speak to spiked punch, but. Also, I think this is saying that Springfield is a commuter school.
Yes, obviously.
Everyone's picking
no one hangs out on campus.
Yeah.
Except the nerds.
Except
apparently.
The nerds. Yeah, it's very strange.
But anyway, after Homer spikes the punch and realizes that these are, you know, still, for the most part, children, we get to meet Dean Peterson.
Hi there. Hello, I'm Dean Peterson, but you can call me Bobby. I just want you to know, if you ever feel stressed out from studying or whatever, I'm always up for some hacky sack. Or hey, if you just want to come by and jam, I used to be the bass player for the Pretenders.
Boy, I can't wait to take some of the starch out of that stuffed shirt.
Oh, Homer, I don't think you understand what a stuffed shirt is.
Again, like this, Dean Peterson is one of the nicest people we've ever seen in The Simpsons.
It's true, he really doesn't belong in Springfield.
He's very... I think he's so nice that it works. Like, he's Flanders-level nice. I mean...
Yes, he's essentially Flanders without the Christian overtones.
Yeah. Another thing. It's like... Homer just... Homer is a child of television and movies, and he's just not able to get past what they have taught him.
That's true. I mean, Homer learned from TV as a kid, and he continues to learn from TV, even when it stopped being even remotely accurate, and they just started lying to him outright to make it funny. But after we meet Dean Peterson and Homer's vitriolic reaction, we go to the Nuclear Physics 101 class, which I don't think nuclear physics was ever a 101 class anywhere, but hey, you know, maybe in Springfield. Of course, the professor makes a great joke, out with the old, in with the nucleus, which makes all the actual students laugh. But Homer doesn't laugh until the professor drops his cards, which once again, we see why Homer is not a good person and is, in fact, a horrible human being.
Yeah, I was going to, like, I like it. We have been critical about the mean Homer episodes in the past. I think I don't mind it in this case because
it's non-threatening. That's not the right word.
It's very threatening later in the episode. But it's Homer doing what he's been taught to do, and they're like that, and like the theme of this episode is very much like Homer has been taught that this is what college is. And that, you know, you're enemies with your professor, with your dean, and not that college is just a place to get an education. So,
well, that's true. The man has told you your entire life that, you know, you see enemies in all people who are trying to help you, therefore you never get ahead. That's the way the world works, Robbie, didn't you know?
Yeah. It just kind of took me aback on that one.
We see Homer continuing on with his education. He sets up some awesome bookshelves at home using concrete blocks and wood boards, which is a popular style that I saw many of. I don't know about you.
There's a place called IKEA?
I lived far away from an IKEA, so we didn't have cheap furniture like that.
Okay, so that's fair.
We just had construction sites.
Like Homer.
Exactly. Which means that when Homer stole the bricks, that there would be no more children's hospital, because they were that on a shoestring of a budget that six cinder blocks just made it so that the hospital couldn't be built.
This, and that's a gag I've completely forgotten. That was completely, yeah, right? I had completely forgotten that gag existed in this episode.
It seems to be the case with a lot of these, is a lot of these one-off gags you forget were in this particular episode, but there were a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see Homer once again in class, where the professor has a, what does he call the machine, Robbie, do you remember?
It's a accelerator, something accelerator, proton.
Oh, that's right, a proton accelerator.
Proton accelerator.
So, you know, the kind of thing they built at CERN, large hadron collider.
Yeah, exactly, a particle accelerator.
Yeah, they have one of those in the classroom, totally.
Of course.
Which, well, which Homer immediately uses to cause some kind of horrible nuclear disaster, and then calls the cleanup guys by name, because of course they know Homer.
Well, yeah, they work for the plant, I'm assuming, and he's met them. We see them earlier in this episode, cleaning up his last mess.
Yes. Well, you know, that's Homer. He knows the cleanup guys. He's like Dick Damage Control in the Marvel Universe. They know all the superheroes. Superheroes know them. They just see each other. It's part of work. You know, they're essentially your coworkers.
That should be a good show.
It would, right?
No, they're making it. Did you know that, Matt?
I did not. They're actually making a Damage Control show.
They're making a Damage Control show.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Well, someone has to clean up the mess.
Exactly. Sorry. Diversion over. We then see Homer meets with Dean Peterson, who is once again being super nice about Homer causing a horrific accident, and just says, hey, you know, we feel you would benefit from some tutoring. So he researches some names, which is way more than any dean would actually ever do for you. And then Homer, of course, proceeds to prank call the dean, because Homer's a jerk.
It's an attempt at prank calling, but he's standing outside the window calling. It's not a good prank call.
No, but it is still technically a prank call.
I know, the intention is still there. And I believe they refer to the fact that there are a lot of shots in this episode that are shot through windows. And that's true. Because we saw Homer chasing squirrels through the window. Huh. And now we see him making a prank call through a window.
Interesting. That's true. I wonder why that is.
Choices.
Mm, true. But anyway, after Homer makes his terrible prank call, we meet the nerds, who will come back again and again.
Hiya, gang.
Intruder alert. Intruder alert. Stop the humanoid.
Look, I'm supposed to get a physics tutor.
Well, you come in the right place, then. There's one thing we know. It is science.
And math.
And the worst every Monty Python routine.
We are the knights who say, meep!
Of course, poor Homer does not realize that they're nerds. I don't know how he doesn't realize that, but he doesn't.
Well, I think it's because Homer, if he likes somebody, he automatically thinks they're cool.
That's true.
So I think that he doesn't see them as nerds. Like, one, his idea of what a nerd is fluid, because it seems to be anybody that wears glasses at certain points. But I think it's because these guys are his friends. They're not nerds. They're jocks because they're his friends. Even though I don't see how Homer is a jock in the first place, but I guess if we're doing a binary system, he's more jock than nerd.
Exactly.
But the nerds' names, Benjamin, Doug, and Gary. They're based apparently on people that Conan knew in college himself.
That's
they
awesome.
Lived in the same dorm as him. I mean, these are not unique stereotypes. I've known many people like this. I am like this a little bit.
I'm pretty sure when you're a nerd, you know other nerds that are more nerdy than you.
Yeah, these are very nerdy nerds. They really do hit those stereotypes hard. The Monty Python references, the Dungeons and Dragons. We see Star Trek. We get their an intruder alert. Get the humanoid is from an arcade game called Berserk. They are not subtle about how nerdy these guys are, which I guess makes it work.
Nope. And it makes them awesome people, essentially.
Yeah.
So it comes down
to. Exactly.
But like Robbie said, they play D&D. I love the dinner scene after Homer gets back from his playing D&D with the nerds, where everyone's like, oh, they're obviously nerds. And Lisa tries to, you know, break it softly to him by saying, oh, they're famous nerds like Orville Redenbacher, rock star David Byrne, who I don't know who is.
Lead singer of the Talking Heads.
Of course, I know that band.
Yes. Burning Down the House?
No.
Burning Down Rain the House. Road to Nowhere. I'm trying to think of other Talking Heads songs. Those are the big hits. You don't know Burning Down the House? Really?
I can't say that I do.
Nothing?
That does sound vaguely familiar, so good job on the humming.
Okay, that's my best shot. I'm trying.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Moving on, also, Supreme Justice Souter is a nerd, which, if you've ever seen Souter, yeah, it's pretty obvious from looking at him that he's a nerd.
At least I hope every so. Judge on is every Supreme Court judge, they're all nerds. They have to be.
I don't know. Clarence Thomas and Alito and Scalia, they're jocks. They're obviously jocks. No,
they're all nerds, Matt, okay? They're law nerds. They're very specific kinds of nerds, but they have to do a lot of studying. They do not get out much. I guarantee
that's
it.
That's true, I feel like the dichotomy that Homer is going after would squarely put those people in the jock category, because they're essentially bullies. That's what it comes down to.
Okay. But,
anyway.
I do not like this idea that we got to put some kind of political weight on if you're a nerd or not. I know plenty of conservative nerds.
Oh, I do too. I'm just saying those people are not them.
Okay. The jock versus nerd argument rages on for eternity.
It always will. Anyway, Homer then proceeds to corrupt the nerds and distract them from their studying and nerditude by getting them to essentially just pull pranks over and over again. His ideas are, of course, terrible. They mainly involve wrapping people up in a blanket and throwing them off a bridge, which seems more criminal than prankish.
It's called murder?
Well,
I'm not sure.
If they survive, it's just attempted murder. And do they give it a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry? Come on now.
Touche.
Reaching out into the future on that one. But it's actually Bart that comes up with the prank that they decide on. They are going to kidnap Sir Oinksalot, which Bart's presentation of this is just fantastic.
The only other college in 50 miles is Springfield A&M, so they're our best target.
Those bastards.
Meet Sir Oinksalot, the beloved mascot of Springfield A&M. Here he is presiding over last year's homecoming. Here he is conferring an honorary degree on Richard Nixon. And here he is rolling in his own filth. Gentlemen, I propose we kidnap Sir Oinksalot.
And then we roll him up in a carpet and throw him off a bridge! What?
Oh, Homer, he's just obsessed, essentially. Poor guy. But hey, they do go through with kidnapping Sir Oinksalot. Homer, for some reason, loves pulling on Sir Oinksalot's tail, which of course gets him bit because, you know, pigs don't like that. Don't ever mess with a pig's tail, guys. Just a little farm advice for you.
Farm advice.
New
segment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Simpsons farm advice with Cletus and the hippies. I'm sure we could figure something out to fill out every episode with farm advice.
Of course.
But they bring it back to Springfield University, and apparently Homer splits a case of malt liquor with a pig, which I think they meant a bottle, because malt liquor is pretty strong. So if the two of them split malt liquor, I think that pig might be dead.
That's a lot. Yeah, malt liquor is very strong, and a case, that's a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But they're actually found out by Dean Peterson, who is some kind of superhero and can hear a pig fainting in a closet down the hall, which I'm very curious as to how exactly he learned what a pig fainting sounds like. Him and David Cameron were just hanging in the same circles.
Matt, we're going to let that, that's going to fly off in the ether. If you understand what Matt was talking about, that's fine. We're not going to discuss that. Come on, Matt.
Not going to explain it. We're also not going to explain the first episode of Black Mirror, which involves similar threats.
I haven't watched Black Mirror.
The first episode involves...
Okay, let's keep going.
Moving along. The nerds who are found with the pig are, of course, at this point expelled. And after immediately leaving the university, Snake steals their wallets by claiming to be a wallet inspector. And Homer realizes that the nerds are not quite equipped for life off of campus. And with that, we fade to commercial.
Yeah, those poor nerds, they come to live with the Simpsons. Because they don't have families, I guess?
I was wondering about that. Their parents just said, nope, we don't want you back.
Maybe they're just ashamed. Like, I can see that. Like, if you're a nerdy kid, like, and you get straight A's, you probably would be upset if you got expelled. Like, you want to be a good... You want to behave. They are obnoxious to live with. Everyone hates them except for Homer. Even Marge. Marge, they within seconds, they get nosebleeds coming into the house. This is actually, let's see, they clog up the phone lines.
What's wrong with this phone? It's making crazy noises.
Those crazy noises are computer signals.
Yeah, some guys at MIT are sending us reasons why Captain Picard is better than Captain Kirk.
They're out of their minds.
First, Picard is better than Kirk.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's, Shatner is great in a lot of ways. Picard's better.
Oh, come on. Shatner is a great actor. Mostly, but he was the second worst captain. Come on now.
Okay, we're not gonna get in this argument. But this is the first
trying to
time
bait you like anything else, and you just won't set the hook.
This is the first time the internet is mentioned on the show. First time we've seen any hide nor hair of the internet. And we kind of want to keep track of this to see when it's mentioned again. This is my favorite Itchy and Scratchy related thing. I think I even like it more than Pidgey.
What?
I know, that's heresy. But the kids are watching the Itchy and Scratchy where Scratchy finally gets itchy when...
Oh, yeah.
When nerds appear.
We need the outlet for our rock tumbler.
Plug it in!
What, the rock tumbler or the TV?
They'll never let us show that again. Not in a million years.
Dad, start digging some nerd holes.
That is fantastic.
That actually makes me kind of angry because I want to see Scratchy finally get itchy. Like, I'm upset that I didn't get to see it, too. So I...
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be an episode eventually where they figure that out.
I don't know. They've done it the one time. I think if you try and do it again, it won't work. Homer comes up with a plan to get the nerds reinstated so they can get moved out of the house. His plan involves him driving a car at the dean and them saving the dean in just in the nick of time. They fail.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. They fail to do that. He gets hit by... Homer hits him with a car. The dean is, again... nicer than I could possibly imagine anyone being.
It's like, oh, you've crippled me for life.
Yeah, I'll have an artificial hip from now on. And he's just like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, they're reinstated. I don't see
like,
how.
Yeah, I was an ogre. No, you weren't an ogre. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, he must have some severe self-esteem issues. But the nerds are reinstated, but Homer still is not studied or is not, and definitely not ready for his exam. They have a studying montage, with Homer being very confident that he's gonna pass. He fails! Gets it.
No surprise.
No surprise. But there's a way, maybe, that, they can change his grade.
Oh, I'm gonna lose my job just because I'm dangerously unqualified.
Mr. Simpson, there is a way we could, well, use a computer to change your grade.
Computers can do that?
Oh, yes. The only problem is the moral dilemma it raises, which requires...
Mora waza?
The Mora waza?
Mora waza? They do change the grade to give Homer an A+.
Which everyone immediately knows is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. This is my favorite bit of this whole episode, is that basically they decide that they learned nothing.
An A+? How did you do it?
Oh, let's just say I had help from a little magic box.
You changed your grade with a computer?
Oh!
Way to go, Dad!
Look, the important thing is that we all learned a lesson. These guys learned the richness and variety of the world outside college.
No, he didn't.
Oh, then I learned the real value of college is to study and work hard.
No, you didn't. You only passed your course by cheating, which you always taught us was wrong.
That is accurate.
That is accurate. Marge forces Homer to retake the class, and that's how the episode ends. We get a montage over the credits of Homer other Homer moments in college, which are basically just stuff from Animal House.
Yeah, it's basically everything they did with Homer drawn in there.
Yeah, like food fights and other college things. Like, stuffing people in phone booths, which I've always heard is a college prank. I've never actually seen anyone do it.
And I hope they don't do, because that seems terrible.
Yeah, and that's how the episode ends. It's a good episode, man. It's funny.
It's not as good as Cape Fear, but you know that's that's gonna be hard to beat.
No, it's a lot of solid gags. It moves quickly. It gives us a little peek into like the psyche of Homer and how kind of get to that thing where it's, you know, a takeoff on television and movies where, you know, and Homer is that. The kind of protagonist that has just been raised on that. And so shows us that juxtaposition between real life college and college in bad movies that Homer loves.
Well, everyone loves them, Robbie.
You
don't love terrible college movies?
No, I think Animal House was enough. I think they made that one. And then you don't need to do it again, really.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, we will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode for this one. If you have a specific episode that is your favorite, please, you can email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com explaining why, and I will read it on air. Where are we? We are getting up to our next segment. It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Every week, I comb the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, archived on Google Groups, for the week or two surrounding the debut of this episode, and see what people were talking about. Matt, this is... I can understand more... Every week I get more and more... more understanding about the writer's bitterness about the people on the news group.
Yeah, they don't seem like very nice people, and they just... Yeah, they're...
Well, I mean, it's not... I don't want to say that everyone is negative, because there's tons of people on there saying they love everything that's happening. Like, they're going, like, this is a great episode, it's really funny, I really like this, I really like that. But there's also these people. I'm just going to read one, because there's more than one, but I'm going to read just one. Don't get me wrong, I really liked Cape Fear, and the B-sharps was kind of good in a weird way. College episode was the worst Simpsons episode I've ever seen. Does that sound familiar?
Come on.
Yeah, I loved every other episode. I'm not all critical when I watch, but what happened? Are there new writers? There are new writers last year, buddy. I'm embarrassed. I've gotten so many people into the show, and now it looks stupid. Yes, you look stupid. You're correct about that.
Yeah.
Homer Goes to College is not my favorite episode, but it's a solid one, and it's really tiring reading through all this every week, and I understand. If I was a creator, I would not be paying attention to these people, but apparently they did.
Yeah, guys, don't do that. These are awful people, and they don't deserve your attention.
Don't read the comments is always good advice. But I couldn't. There was not much else in this week except a lot of people arguing about how good the episode was, and if the Simpsons are, it's the death knell of the Simpsons. Yes, of course not. Of course it is. But yeah, that's about it for this week. That next up, it is time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow.
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog. We have a wiener.
Yellow.
Our listener question of this week is, what is your favorite episode based on a movie? And I kind of left it at that because I always try and leave these things open-ended if possible. Got tons of great answers. Let's see. First from Twitter, we have Bob the Droid. 22 short films about Springfield, a.k.a. The Simpsons tribute to Pulp Fiction. Scott at Pure Cromulence does a segment from the Halloween special count. All work and no play make Homer something something, which, yes, I'm considering the shitting was roughly half of the answers I received. I'm definitely counting it. Stephanie at SMG0014, does the shitting from Trials of Horror 5 count so funny, well animated, great storytelling in such a short time frame. Sarah at Sarah Blackfire, the Disney fan of me has to go with 2001 Greyhounds, great take on 101 Dalmatians and Beauty and the Beast. Andy at the Andy Man Can 12, Brick Like Me, a gem in the later seasons, and it taught us the most inhumane torture ever devised by man, Candyland. Well, for like just a roll and move game, Candyland's not terrible.
That's true, I guess.
Monopoly's 10 times worse because it takes 8 hours. On to Facebook, we have Greg. I am partial to Bart of Darkness. In very few episodes do we get to see the more mature side of Bart, but you see him in a cast and unable to join in the family pool, and watching his mind work was downright good storytelling. Oh, and the part where he looks directly at Rear Window Stewart was a bit on the nose, but it works. Elliot, gotta go OG with Bart the General. Think it's the best season one episode. It's not an all-time favorite, but it's a well-done early episode. It doesn't hurt. I'm a big fan of Patton. Zach, I'm going with You Only Move Twice. From To Title to Mr. Bond, everything is pretty much a parody of James Bond movies, which I love. And of course, the fantastically diabolical Hank Scorpio. I'd love to see a Bond movie with Hank Scorpio as the villain, or hero, depending on your point of view. I mean, he is a great boss. Plus, he already has his own theme song. And Homer, on your way out, if you want to kill somebody, it would help me a lot. Hank Scorpio is the best. He's too good. That's the problem. Like, he's too good as a villain. Like, the Bond villains have to be, like, flawed. Like, Scorpio is perfect. Like, and literally, like, he's too good of a guy and too good of a villain. He doesn't get caught.
That's true. I mean, his only ideal is to make the world a objectively better place, so...
Well, some Bond villains. Yeah, okay. Sean, going with... Here we go. Simpsons Califragilisticexpialidocious me annoyed grunchious. I tried to do the best I could. Cherry Bobbin steals the show from the moment she tells us she's like Ricky Rouse or Model Muck to a sad demise when she starts drinking with Barney and decides that the family are a lost cause and has a grisly end. Also touches a lot of the town, including having a nice reunion with Willie and performing a miracle, helping Mr. Burns remember what his heartbeat sounded like. That takes me back. Rufus, for me, it's hands down the Treehouse of Horror 5 segment, the Shinin, don't want to get sued. So many shots and scenes are spot on with the original, much like Cape Fear. There's a great blend of comedy with a tense atmosphere. If you were to walk into the scene with Homer picking up the axe and chasing the family out of the house and into the snow, it would actually look like a scary cartoon rather than a comedy. Having Moe as the bartender hallucination and groundskeeper Willie as Dick Halloran was too perfect. The no TV, no beer make Homer go crazy scene is one of, if not the best scene of Homer making random noises and faces. It is pretty good. Sean, I put a lot of thought into this, so I think I'm going to go with the Treehouse of Horror segment parody of Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's fast-paced, well-written, hits all the high notes, and delivers a magnificent line from Homer saying, "Kill my boss? Do I dare live out the American dream?" And finally, Holly. Hello, guys. Favorite absolute Simpsons movie spoof is from Treehouse of Horror 5, The Shining. Shining is one of my all-time favorite movies, so my favorite TV show spoofing is close to heaven. Homer, no TV, and no beer makes Homer something-something. Go crazy? Don't mind if I do. Faces Homer that makes just perpetuate my love of the Simpsons animators. Burns, that's odd. Usually blood gets off on the second floor. It's perfect for Shining fans. And Homer's can't murder now eating is hilarious, whether you've seen the movie or not. Who could forget Marge? Help, my husband's on a murderous rampage. Over. Wiggum. Well, I'm glad that's over. Absolute maximum laughs packed into 6 minutes. Yes. Tons of answers, most of them from The Shining.
It's pretty much one of the best Halloween bits.
Yeah, ever, one of the best Transformer segments. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm actually going to go with 2001 Greyhounds, which I'm glad no one else picked, because I think it is masterful.
We had one person.
Did somebody pick it? Did I miss it? Shoot.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm not special then. But yeah, I thought it was really great having Mr. Burns be Cruella de Vil. The song, all in all, is a great episode. Not to mention a spotlight on Santa's Little Helper, who, poor little guy, just doesn't get as much airtime as he should.
Matt, there's one thing that everyone should take away from this podcast. They're not special.
That's true. No one is ever special.
My answer is Bart of Darkness. Nice. It's one of my favorite Bart episodes. Probably second favorite? Not sure. I'd have to think about it more about that. But it is one of my favorite, and it really does nail like that paranoia and weirdness that Hitchcock does in Rear Window. And I don't mind that they have Jimmy Stewart hanging out in that episode. But it's a great kind of like twist at the end that explains everything. Like, they actually do tie it up very neatly and nicely about all the weird mystery stuff that's happening.
Mm.
For next week's question, we are going to go very broad. Neither Matt nor I could come up with a great question for this week, and I've been keeping this one in my back pocket. Favorite cultural reference in The Simpsons?
Oh, wow. We're going to get a lot of answers for that.
Exactly. One. I'm kind of excited about it because there's going to be usually we get a very kind of focused question. This is the broadest question I think we've ever had. What is your favorite reference ever? Could be anything. Any kind of movie, book, TV reference, video games. The world is your oyster. I'm gonna have to think hard about this because I don't have one off the top of my head. But yes, favorite cultural reference in The Simpsons. excited to see this one. It will be on our, I post this question on our social media, Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. And links to all those things are in the show notes and on our website. Matt, you know what time it is?
The scary time?
It's not scary. It is time for our new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is the part of the show where Matt and I challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. And this season we have stakes on the line. Holly actually emailed us a lot of suggestions for our milkshake that we're going to have to, the loser of the challenge is going to have to drink at the end of the season, including...
It's not bad enough. She got me hooked on Tapped Out. Now she's got to make me eat terrible things.
Yeah, it's, there's, she has an onion ring, let's see, butter noodles, which is Marge's favorite food, pork chops, there's other things in there. I don't have it in front of me.
It'd be tough to blend a pork chop.
Well, we're just going to do little bits and pieces. It's going to be a smorgasbord, Matt. I think that's what I think is the best. Like, you know, we have a shot of cough syrup so we won't die. You know, a piece of pork chops, you know, a onion ring, a beer. You know, we'll have, we're going to have, it's going to be disgusting. It's going to be really gross. I really hope I don't have to drink it, but it may. Matt is, after taking fall into an early lead, he is come surging back in last episode. Now he's down only 1 point. I'll start us off.
True. I'm not trying to make you terrible.
Okay. I'm being as fair as possible, Matt, okay? I am. These questions are pretty easy. I don't know.
Okay.
I thought they were too easy, except for the hard one, which is supposed to be hard. Your easy question, Matt. In Lisa on Ice, Lisa is failing what class?
Gym.
Correct. That is correct. Or PE. I would also accept PE.
Physical education, indeed.
Yes. Give me an easy question, Matt.
All right. I have a theme this week, which it's a pretty obvious thing. Okay. Which member of the Justice League did Homer prefer over Lois Lane when Lisa bought a bunch of Lois Lane comics?
What? That's an easy question?
Yeah. Okay. They're going to be female, and they're in the Justice League. It's a pretty easy question.
Wonder Woman?
You are correct.
That's not an easy question.
That's a very easy question.
Okay, whatever, man. Sure, I see how it is. Stacking the deck against me. You just want to win.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you care about. Mm-hmm. Okay, medium question. In the PTA disbands, Lisa loses what?
Oh, her perspicacity?
You're correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Yeah, so hard. It takes you a whole 2 seconds to think of an answer.
I didn't say it was hard. I just said it loses something. You think of a thing. You don't think of an attribute. Anyway.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah. All right, your medium question. What Batman-themed insane asylum was Nelson sent to when they closed Springfield Elementary?
It has the same name, Arkham Asylum?
Technically, it's Arkham Elementary, but the Arkham was the important part.
Okay. Okay. I'm like, they just stole it from... I mean, it's the Simpsons. Okay, Matt. This is a hard one. It is hard. No doubt about this one. I'd be very impressed if you got this one right. In Lisa's Rival, Lisa has a nightmare featuring her in a band with three of rock and roll's most famous second bananas. Name two of the three.
Garfunkel, Oates, Lisa, and who's the last one? Oh, Messina.
Oh my! How do you? You got them all. I'm not giving you bonus points, but you do get three. Jeez,
Thank you.
I'm done for. Might as well just start getting ready to drink that awful milkshake.
I don't know. I think my hard one is not that hard, if you remember this particular episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's an episode we've done, all right?
Okay.
What villainess did Radioactive Man marry in an imaginary tale?
Oh.
In issue 72, I believe.
Dear Lord. That's not right. All I can think of is actual supervillains, not Radioactive Man. Is she snake themed?
She is tubular, I guess.
Tubular. All I'm thinking of is Enchantress. That's a Thor villain. I can't think of it. I don't know.
All right. The answer is Larva Girl. So you were close with the snake idea.
Larva? No, I don't know if that's close, Matt. Larva has nothing to do with snakes.
Well, they're in the same shape, essentially.
they're shaped similarly. People are all shaped similarly too, Matt. Okay, Matt pulls in the lead. This begins the downfall. This is the beginning of the end.
I don't know about that.
Wave goodbye. Matt gets a full six. I get just three. Now Matt is 12-10. He's winning by two, and this gap is only gonna get larger and larger. I have a feeling. I'm just gonna resign myself to drinking some awful, disgusting thing. I have to steel myself. Nope. Okay. I don't have any more this week. We gotta make sure we're not too long this week, so don't have any listener questions for you, Matt, although I do have a few in the tank, but you guys are more than welcome to send more in, as well as theme suggestions if you'd like. Again, all of our social media, all those places, reach out to us. Any of those places are great. With that, it's time for our final segment. That is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? This is a tricky one.
Yeah, it really is. I'm looking at, where is Homer defined on this list? Because I kind of feel like it's similar-ish.
35.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of actually like Homer Defined a little better than this one. I feel like this one had a lot of great gags that were very lasting. They ran for a long time. A lot of ones that people remember. But other than that, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's got the references, but that's about it. What do you think?
Oh, I'm looking at all the ones around that. And I think Homer Defined is a little low for my taste, but that's how the list shaped up. So I can't really critique it too much. But it's, I think that's the right neighborhood for it. It's really tough because I want to put a little bit higher. I think I like it more than Lisa the Beauty Queen.
Okay. I can definitely see that.
Sticking point, I'm in the Brush of Greatness, Saturdays of Thunder, Homer's Triple Bypass area. I'm not sure. It's like there's just so many really memorable things in this episode. I mean, the episode as a whole is not. Like, it's nothing in the plot is that great, but there's a lot of great jokes in it, which I'm trying to, parse. I'd probably put it right above Saturdays of Thunder and below Brush with Greatness.
Let's see. Saturdays of Thunder and
Brush I think with it's Greatness. Funnier than Saturdays of Thunder, but I think Brush with Greatness.
Definitely.
I think the Brush with Greatness, that emotional stuff, puts it above this because this really doesn't have any character stuff aside from Homer being a child.
A jerk.
Homer being a jerk.
I can definitely see that. That's true. I feel like Brush with Greatness is so low. I mean, it was Brother from the Same Planet really better than Brush with Greatness?
I think so. I think it's really funny. Okay. And Phil Hartman did a great job.
That's true. Phil Hartman is Tom. All right. I think that's a good spot for it. 27?
Okay. 27. All right.
It's definitely better than Homer's Triple Bypass. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I was looking at Homer's Triple Bypass. It's like Homer's Triple Bypass is really emotional, but not super funny. But of course, it's about heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Generally not
a funny. Heart attacks are hilarious.
Yeah, it's not necessarily not generally a funny thing. That will put Homer Goes to College at number 27 on our list, right below Brush to Greatness, right above Saturdays of Thunder. Cape Fear is our new number one, with Homer's Odyssey still last place, number 83. Yeah. What is our
and Falling?
Yeah, and Falling. What is our next episode, Matt? It's a good one.
Oh man, yeah, I believe a Mr. Burns episode, Rosebud.
Yeah, Rosebud.
Another Schwartz welder.
Yep. Rosebud is have the Rolling Stones killed. I'm excited to talk. This is prime time. Like every episode, I'm like really interested to go back and watch and talk about them because they're so good. All of these just. It's ridiculous. Every week we talk about it, but it is simply ridiculous that a show had such a run of classic, memorable episodes. Like, there's nothing else like it in television history. No show has done this. It's just, it's crazy. You can find this list on our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. This list, links to new episodes, links to all our social media, to our RSS feed, and links to our Patreon. If you'd like to support us that way, we'd, of course, appreciate it. I think that'll do it. I think that'll do it for this week, Matt.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's M-I-X-M-A-S-T-E-R-C-E-R-E-A-L. Please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, available where podcasts are. Matt does not...
You okay?
I'm losing my perspicacity.
Oh, no.
Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him unless you're a certain Patreon subscriber level.
That's true. However, this week I have actually been spending time hanging in the air trying to fix a few things. So if you see somebody hanging from a random building, it might be me. So say hi.
That is genuinely terrifying, man.
Yeah, I know. It's the job, though.
I guess that's true. So with that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the subsets.